This week, No Refund Theater presents...
Wait Until Dark by Frederick Knopf. Hello, we're here with Ted Chiolak, director of Wait Until Dark, and his almost entire cast and assistant director. If you want to go around, introduce your name and the role you play, and then we'll get into what it's about.
Oh, hi. I'm Anthony Arbiza, and I play Harry Rote Jr. and Sr.
I'm Sean Sadler, and I play Sam Hendricks.
I'm Jesse Leo, and I play Gloria.
I'm the real Sam, Sam Horvath, and I play Mike Talman.
I'm Jonna Scravis, and I play Susie Hendricks.
Hey, I'm Julian Io, I'm the assistant director.
And I'm Ted, I'm the director.
All right, what is this show about?
This show, a lot of things. It's about laughter and tears and... it's just the behind the scenes part. The tears are from me and John, and the laughter is everybody else laughing at us crying. The show is about a woman, Susie, played by Jonna, who is blind, and she, I can start that.
Yeah, start up.
Because I stopped talking.
Oh,
can you start?
Can we explain what happened there for a second? We are No Refund Theater, and because we don't have our own theater, we have to do this podcast in the hallway of the forum, and a student just walks by. The middle of our podcast.
It's really not funny.
We can cut that out.
It's
yeah.
not his fault at all.
The show is about...
What show are we doing?
The show is about Susie Hendricks, a blind woman who gets terrorized by three criminals searching for a musical doll filled with heroin that mistakenly ended up in her apartment. And the show is about her... not letting her handicap get in the way and sort of bringing the criminals down to her level so that she can hopefully outwit them.
So it's kind of like Home Alone?
exactly like Home Alone. Why has no one brought up that comparison?
John has seen Macaulay Culkin.
We actually have a scene where she puts on aftershave.
I have some surprises for Ted.
But it's my job to play the little boy. I am so sad.
Girl, you're a girl in this
now.
One. You're a girl in this one. You're finally playing your own gender, if not your own age.
And he's not your own age.
Wait, what? Did you just call me 12?
No, I said you're playing your own gender.
So no, it's not Home Alone.
It's basically the same.
It's kind of a combination of like a suspense and horror and drama kind of play. There's murder, there's like knives. There's a lot of black.
Old-fashioned knife fight.
Yeah.
Epic.
Now, it is a lot of black, yeah.
It's different because it's in Warren Commons. How is that going to affect the, I guess, sex and everything?
It is no longer in Warren Commons.
Oh! Wow.
No, that's right. Okay. That's good that you brought that up because for a while we were advertising it in West. It is not in West. Not.
Don't go
not. Go there. Not. Do not show up there. There will not be a show.
You can still go there for dinner and then come here for the play.
The show will be at 9 p.m. on Wednesday, March 4th, in 102 Forum, and at 8 on Thursday, March 5th, also in 102 Forum. But we are doing it, the reason we were doing it in West is because we don't have the same resources we normally have for NRT shows, because we're not really going to have too much lighting, we're not going to have too many flats, if any, if we can borrow some, hopefully. Fingers crossed, of course. Let's talk to Bridget about that, see what she's not using. Because there'll be another show rehearsing that week, and that'll be Rumors, which will be will go up the weekend after spring break, so come see that. But we're not going to have a lot of the same resources we normally have for a show, so everything is portable. Most of our furniture is IKEA, so we can tear it down and build it up again each night, and basically so it fits in the back of my car, so that I can... drive it to rehearsal and to the shows every night.
Well, basically, my husband goes to the airport and for some reason agrees to take a doll home from a stranger he's never met before. And I don't know if any of you have ever flown before, but there are warnings everywhere that ask you if your bags have been unattended. And they also say don't take a package from a stranger. So
Her daughter was sick in the hospital.
He's obviously some sort of idiot. Which doesn't make sense because he was in the Marines.
We don't. And we actually have the idiot right here. Do you want to
defend yourself? Okay.
I can take it.
Again, well done.
So what do you have to say about character Sam?
I mean,
how does it feel to play a complete moron?
I don't know, Donna. How does it feel to play a complete moron?
Every day.
Oh, that's cool.
Ooh,
wow.
That's rough. That's
yeah. We have no qualms about abusing our actors,
so
physically
really
or emotionally.
Bonded, loving cast, I see.
We're very close.
We're so close. We're close enough to make fun of each other.
Mm-hmm.
I know
yeah.
when Ted says a lot of things to me, he doesn't mean them.
I do.
That's why I don't follow directions. I know that he's kidding when he tells me I've done poorly.
Legitimately hate you.
I'll learn my lines when I'm ready, which will be before the show.
Good.
So.
That's why Julianne's learning them for you. It's a backup.
It's true. That has been happening.
Julianne has memorized the show in case I decide to take anyone in your last minute.
Gotcha. I mean, not me, though, right?
No, God, not
okay.
I haven't even looked at your lines.
We're just clearing that up because Julianne's not a liability. The several knows now.
Right. On a, I guess on a more serious note, one thing that people always ask
on
about.
On a serious note, this is the first one.
Well, let him have it then. Okay, go for it.
People are always keep asking me why the set's completely black because everything blends into everything else, but that's actually why it's all black. When I knew that I couldn't do it in 111 with you know the rest of NRT's resources and I couldn't have everything that I wanted to. I decided to make it look more like a black box, so that everything literally is in a black box.
When he also decided to cast me when he realized he couldn't have everything.
Yes. It's actually so true, it's not funny. But...
Ted originally wanted to have all of the actors except for me wear stockings over their heads.
That was there, actually what you told me in your first email. When
that
you were
was
like, brief
anecdote.
Is that true? Can you please explain
yeah.
you putting on the...
No, this is an interesting thing, because, like, this is... I actually think this has turned out to be one of, like, the really, like, cooler aspects of our show. Like, we started the night with most of our set, and it's all black, like Ted just described, but, like, actually seeing it, I think it's going to work really well.
Yeah.
I still think that the nylons over our head would not have worked well.
Ted, why don't you explain how you tested out your theory of whether stockings over your head would work well?
Tested it.
I tried it, and it was incredibly painful.
Where did you get
a pair of stockings? Did you just go out and buy some stockings?
I did.
$2 at a grocery store?
I did.
You
no.
did?
I did, in fact. I bought these stockings, and they didn't actually work.
My eyes
were kind of stuck in this position of, like, not open or closed.
I can't see it.
I don't get why we wear stockings.
No.
Like, please get to that.
You know what I don't get? Why someone would test out their theory of whether you can put a stocking over your head with their sister's old dance type.
That's why it didn't work.
They were not old.
They were brand new.
They'd never been used.
No,
they were old then.
They were not old. They were fairly new.
They
had a
they were gently used for dance class.
Like new.
Oh. It's like buying underwear at the Salvation Army.
I don't think they let me do that for that specific reason.
They do the one near my house.
That is absolutely disgusting.
They have boxers on.
What kind of people rummage through the underwear box at the Salvation Army?
Oh, I don't know.
You have, obviously, you know they do.
Not even rummage. They're in a big bin, like, you can see them.
Okay.
Have we just stopped talking about the play altogether?
Okay, first, you're talking about a black set, so what exactly is a set of?
This, what?
What is the location of?
This set is Susie's living room.
It's a dump.
But yes, everything, the furniture is black, the props are black, the walls will be black. I've even gone as far as to paint sugar cubes black.
What?
It does work.
It's scary for the actors to have to use those. But we're gonna go ahead.
You're gonna be actors.
Well,
actor meaning you.
I don't want to have to drink. I don't want to have to drink a painty sugar cube.
You don't. You don't.
Ted told me that he wanted the set to be kind of a reflection of his soul, so he decided to paint it all black.
Actually, the set's more of a reflection of how Susie interacts with the world. She can't distinguish between shapes and colors, and if everything kind of blends in together, it makes the audience
relate. So wait,
relate
she can't see a little bit?
No. No.
Oh.
No, I just mean like she can't...
distinguish at all.
Sorry.
Right. I think that's a better description.
Did you get the impression when you were watching that I could see? Because that's not the impression I was trying to give.
I'm going by what he said. She can't distinguish shapes and colors,
you're good.
Which makes me think she could see.
Right. No, it's just that she has no...
the
way
actor. Very true.
No, but the audience is kind of brought into that
she
as well because you can't.
Then. So really, it's like she's at five, but like not the five we know.
There are parts where the audience won't really be able to make out who the actors are. They'll see someone coming up, and which you know Susie can hear that, but you don't always know who it is, and because you can't always. Go based on sight. In fact, some of the actors are when the criminals are trying to trick her and get the doll out of her. For example, like Anthony never.
That was a weird phrasing.
When the actors are trying to get her to give up the doll.
yeah.
I quit.
I'm sorry. I've been trying to
no,
talk,
no,
but
that was a weird edit.
It was weird.
But sorry, continue, please.
When the actors are trying to convince Susie to give up the doll, they're not acting with facial expressions because they'd be completely lost on a blind person. So the acting comes through a lot in the voice. Which is very unsettling to watch, and for those of us here that have seen, for example, Anthony do it during his scene with
weird.
Donna, it's very scary because you see one thing and you're hearing something completely different, and the two don't line up. So that's it's not done that way originally in either the play or in the movie, but it's a neat way to take on or to kind of adapt to the script, sort of. So I love adapting scripts. I love tailoring them, completely rewriting them to fit my own needs.
Don't worry, we're all sure that Frederick would approve.
Frederick, not the playwright, that is. Yeah, I'm sure he wouldn't have minded me completely cutting and pasting this whole thing. Podcast, thanks,
hey,
Jesse.
Thanks,
seriously, man, let's look and see that they're doing.
Well, the play's ruined. So.
Now, what is your goal for this? Like, are you really looking to scare the crap out of everyone, or
eventually.
Just intrigue people?
Sorry,
he's so
tired. The play actually really scares me. Being in it.
Sometimes. I do want to scare people. I like this play because it does that. Not even in. I mean, there are some moments that are definitely scary just to watch. What was the question?
She was terrified being in the store, and you're
saying
what you want. From
yes, there are parts that are definitely more terrifying to watch, but there are other parts that are less obviously scary. It's not always people, you know, jumping out and yelling boo. Actually, that never happens. That never once happens.
Now they don't want to come to the show.
There are parts
people saying boo.
That's scary.
The knife part's scary.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. But I mean, there are also parts that, like, for example, just watching Anthony and it's more disturbing at parts rather than just shocking. I would say there are parts that are disturbing, scary, and parts that are shockingly scary. And there's a nice mix of them. So I kind of like that aspect of it.
Okay. Do you have any questions for each other?
Good question. I hated this part of the podcast. I was going to say, like, I don't have a question, I have a comment. Like,
sure.
I really like that it's, like, a smart thriller. Like, it's not, like, it doesn't, like, exploit your fears or anything. It's not just, like, you know, because there's so many, like, I feel like scary movies, there's so many of them these days that are just, like, slasher films. And personally, I don't really like them. And so I really like that this is, like, one of those really smart ones that, like, you're scared, but you're, like, really, like, into the story part of it, too.
And then, like, it's just so scary, like, imagining being in Susie's position.
Yeah.
And, like, you have, like, absolutely no idea what's going on. Like, you're home alone, you're blind, which I'd be scared anyway, being blind.
Yeah.
Ever. Because
which is why
you can't see things.
Yeah.
And,
guys, we have a disclaimer. Footnote. Being blind is... having lost your ability to see. It's a sense of sight, which is where you use your eyes.
No.
Visually.
No, but I mean, like, being home alone, like,
yeah.
with your
horrible, horrible husband away in the studio.
He's not bad.
He's worst husband ever. No, he's not.
He leaves trays of
He does.
This is how we're trying to advertise NRT.
Okay.
We're so good at this.
Cut this out.
Yeah, and he just being and like having just like random people come in and out of your door, like you door. You
cut that part out too.
Not a door.
I don't realize.
No doors.
There's no door.
I don't know, that's scary.
Which is why it's cool that we did the whole black thing with the set, because we're kind of, like Ted said, putting the audience in her place, which is why they're going to be so scared.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the aspect that it's like, I don't know that we specifically said, I mean, like, we're trying to get her to give us this doll, and essentially, like, rather than steal the doll, like, we being, I'm Sam, and me, Anthony, and Katie Vicaro are the three criminals that Ted mentioned, and We find out that she's come into possession, she being Jonna, has come into possession of this heroin-filled doll that we obviously wanted to, you know, extract and sell for a lot of money. And I think it's cool because the play, at the beginning, it sort of makes the decision that rather than stealing it or tearing through and trying to find it, we're going to con her out of it. And so what's really fun is, I mean, playing up the con aspect of it, I can see in the script where the playwright Frederick Knott has like clearly delineated whenever we try different tactics, and that's like been something that like Ted's mentioned, you know, a couple times that I mean to make that clear and to try something new. We're constantly trying to gain her trust, and like throughout the play, I kind of play the point man, like in her house, the one who I try and gain Jonna's trust the most. And I found that interesting because it's like, I'm interested to see like what the audience thinks about like about my character and like his role in this in this con game, because like I've been playing it really like sort of positive in my head, you know, finding like sort of the, I don't see him as a really bad guy throughout the really any of the play, but I don't know, he's kind of a bad guy, I guess. Anyone else?
He's the best of the bad guys.
Yeah, that was like a long-winded thing. But
and there's other themes in the show too besides like the deception and the fear part. There's like, or at least from my point of view, there's like a lot about relationships in it. And I mean, between Susie and her husband, there's a lot about like whether they're sort of, I'm trying to think, like a struggle between like finding like the love between them, and at the same time like him just trying to help her out and her accepting that help. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a lot about relationships between Jonna and my character, because it's like a lot of the relationships change over the course of the play, and I think that's also really interesting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, because Jonna's character Susie lost her sight before she met anyone in the play, including her husband, so she's never really known anyone. All she knows is who these people are that, you know, that's, I didn't know anywhere I'm going with this, but I'm going to start out again.
That's
evident. Yeah, I know, I was rambling, wait a minute, this isn't going anywhere. So Susie basically has to trust people, excuse the pun, blindly. She has to put her faith in these people that she's never really met beforehand. These criminals that show up, Gloria, played by Jessie Leo, the little girl who lives upstairs, has to do all of her shopping for her, and Gloria is kind of a brat. Gloria moves things around, Gloria doesn't shut the icebox, Gloria tries to scare her a little bit by surprising her and yelling from behind her to startle her, so...
I hate Gloria.
But it's about how these relationships change and how you learn to trust people, whether or not you trust them blindly or not.
And when you shouldn't trust people.
Yeah.
Like random people who come in your apartment.
Yeah.
Right?
Why is it called Wait Until Dark if it's always dark for her?
Because towards the end of the play, she decides to really bring the criminals down to her level. So she turns out all the lights in her apartment so that it is completely dark, but she has to wait until dark so that, you know, daylight doesn't aid the criminals as well. So she has to literally wait until dark before her plan can actually come into play.
It's also the only good part of the play, so you have to wait until dark for it to be. No, I like the show. I'm really excited.
There are some good parts before that.
It's very suspenseful.
I'm really excited about the show.
Well, I think the title's really interesting because it plays on the idea of not only blindness, but everybody is in the dark. Like, who do you trust amongst the people that you know, especially for someone like Susie that's blind? She has an easy time kind of trusting people, but people around her try to keep her even in a darker place than she already is. Like her husband keeps her even blinder by tricking her and trying to get her to do better. And
that's true.
Testing her. Yeah, that's it. And the criminals themselves constantly keep each other in the dark. Obviously, criminals tend to be of a single mind, and they don't want to give information to other people. So even though they are working with each other, they are keeping a lot of stuff back from each other. Everybody's in the darkness somehow, in some metaphorical or physical way.
I do have one disclaimer about the husband. I feel like there have been at least 3 times in this podcast that we've talked about what a horrible person Susie's husband is.
But he's not abusive, is he?
No, he is not. He really does love her, and the thing that everybody kind of laughs at is the fact that he pushes her very hard. He wants her to be able to adapt to her surroundings and not have to be so dependent on him or anyone else, which
is understandable.
It's completely understandable. And, you know, for a blind woman who, you need to have that sort of independence. So he keeps pushing her to do things for herself, to learn how to do things on her own. For the little tests he does set, you know, are like, walk to my studio and back, and I want you to defrost the icebox, and, you know, to things like that, and put this trash can back yourself. You put it back where it belongs. I want you to know how to do this in the event that, you know, I'm not there to do it for you. And that's very lucky, because when all these criminals show up, he's not there to help her out, so she has to do this all on her own. So he's not the monster that I guess we've made him out to be.
In a way, he's the hero.
In a way, he's like the Merlin to Susie's Arthur.
Kind of.
But I don't. Merlin's not. Great show.
Interesting twist, I'm actually a magician. A wizard, if you will.
Who refuses to give her sight back.
Yes.
Because he's a horrible person.
Because I am just a cold-hearted bastard.
No,
like, in, as, like, a comparison, because I made this one time during rehearsal, and everyone laughed at me, but I was serious. It's like the scene from the movie Ray, which I'm sure a lot of people have seen, when Ray, as a little boy, goes blind, and he falls down in his home, and he's calling for his mom, and his mom won't help him get up because she wants him to do it himself, because she's not going to be around forever since he's so little, and he's going to grow up, and he's going to grow up a lot of his life without her, and she needs him to know that he can be independent.
Why would anyone laugh at you for making that comparison?
I just recall being laughed at.
No, that's a completely accurate comparison.
Jonna, however, has not learned how to play the piano for her role.
Not yet.
Which is really
disappointing. Haven't I?
However, Jonna has been doing a great job. We've been blindfolding her every rehearsal. No, literally.
That's not,
I mean,
where she's been doing a great job.
No, she has. I think she does a great job because she, I mean, yes, she cries every time we do it. But we've run in like entire scenes with her completely blindfolded, and, you know, just so that she gets used to how she moves and how she talks to people and where she's looking, where her face is, you know, aimed towards when she doesn't have the ability of sight to help her out. And there have been times when she's tripped and fallen over and walked into things, but that's all in character.
I was learning, and Ted didn't want to help me. You were like the husband.
I am very much like the husband in this situation. Not a monster. I'm Merlin. Or Ray's mom.
I love all the movie references here, and the, like, music.
Mom. I feel like we're missing an important character with the doll. I feel like
the doll.
The doll is
the
not
doll.
Played by anyone. Nicole, it's a doll.
It's a real thing with the personality, the Chucky personality.
It's real scary.
I had to
babysit the doll one night. Ted was going out and he didn't want to lose the doll, so he said, "Can anyone like take this with them and bring it to rehearsal tomorrow?" And I locked it in a drawer in my desk. And I woke up at 2:30 a.m. and I heard Toyland. And my roommate was like, "What is in our room right now?" It's like a Furby. Like, it just keeps going.
You just have to take the battery.
This has no batteries.
Okay.
There was no way to help her there. Sorry about
that.
The
doll has
you
something
touch
in
it.
Her back.
Yeah. The doll, to me, the doll is for people that, I mean, this is more of a Hitchcock reference, but people know what a MacGuffin is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A MacGuffin is the thing that everybody in the movie is going after, but isn't really the main driving part of the story. Like, to use the movie Psycho as a reference, the money that Janet Leigh steals is the MacGuffin, because everyone's like after that money, but the bigger picture here is that Norman Bates' mother murdered Janet Leigh and blah blah blah. So the doll is what everyone's after, but you know, after a while, it's just the point of the story is Susie's survival.
I become the MacGuffin.
No.
I think in life you're a MacGuffin. The thing that like everybody's concerned about, but doesn't really matter.
Wait, when are we even concerned about
John? Oh, that's right. You have to actually want to. Yeah. Note to the listeners: Jonna just made an awkward face.
Now
it's getting up.
She has left the podcast.
And has walked away.
Oh, now I can stretch out. This is much more comfortable for me.
How does she do that? She's blind.
Yeah.
Okay, one more time. When can we see the show?
The show will be March 4th and 5th in 102 Forum.
That's Wednesday and Thursday.
Yes, and the Wednesday show will be at 9 p.m., and the Thursday show will be at 8 p.m.
Awesome.
Free. Free, free,
free.
Free,
completely free.
Free. Yeah.
Free.
That means no cost.
In case we didn't tell you, yes. Did we mention it's free?
Yeah.
Let's say it one more time. It's free, by the way, guys.
It costs as much as Susie can see.
Blind is to sight as...
free.
Thank you so much, and we'll see you back after Spring Break for Rumors, directed by Bridget Zerbel.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much.